Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
You've got
good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we were just pushing the wrong buttons here, and we're pushing the right buttons now. A couple of topics before we proceed. It's been disheartening and I don't think good for our country, but it is a fact that certain forces within our presidential administration have declared the press, certain aspects of the press that disagree with the administration positions or question it, as enemies of the people. And here's the question. Could the administration declare sanctuary-sensitive churches as enemies of the people eventually? Is that what we would get to? And how do we respond as religious bodies, meaning those collective organizations? Would they ever be declared enemies of the people, quote-unquote? My goodness. Anyway, that's one of the questions. Another thing is, if there is some eventual, and I think there will be, or when there's buyer's remorse, voter's remorse, and maybe we should do this after every election, within a year's time, how do we broker a conversation? And can religious communities be safe, wonderful, healing places within our nation for a conversation after there's an expression of buyer's remorse, rather than just flinging epithets at each other? Can communities of faith be the broader place, the place where there's room for conversation after there's some buyer's remorse expressed? So anyway, those are topics. Here's Annette. Annette, you've got Religion on the Line. 576-7710 is the number you called. You want to talk about Mardi Gras?
Yeah, hi, this is Annette, and Mardi Gras yesterday in St. Louis is like the second largest celebration in the country after New Orleans. St. Louis has a great Mardi Gras tradition, and I actually went there yesterday, and the depravity, I mean, it's like, I'm Catholic, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't think that Tuesday was originally meant to, you know, sensualize and go, you know, scantily dressed, and, you know, I just do a lot of drinking, and a lot of people, you know, like passing out and having to call the police, and it was just awful yesterday at St. Louis.
So,
Mardi Gras on Sunday.
What?
Well, you know, technically Mardi Gras means Fat Tuesday, and
Right. But, I mean, it originally was a Catholic, you know, holiday, and I don't know. I don't think that the Catholics should be condoning this type of behavior. I mean, it was just terrible.
It's not a Catholic holiday in the sense that, a holy day. Originally, the concept was, it came out of Catholic tradition, but I wouldn't say it's a Catholic thing. Originally, the idea was this: Lent was a time. It's a time of fasting, but in the Middle Ages, particularly, Lent was a time in which you would fast fairly severely. So the few days before Lent, you would call your friends together and you'd say things like, "Hey, I've got all these eggs, and they're going to go bad because I'm not going to be eating eggs for 40 days," or "I've got all this cheese," or "I've got all this food." So it was a way of practicing hospitality and generosity, but also being frugal and not wasting something. And then it sort of, as human beings do, it sort of grew into a party. And certainly what happens at Mardi Gras in New Orleans, I mean, I've heard reports, you're right, it is very depraved, and church officials would not ever condone that. In fact, there's a lot of priests, I guarantee a lot of priests in New Orleans and in St. Louis are probably preaching up out against that. It's not what our Lord would have us do. And in a lot of ways, too, it's what was once a Catholic thing has sort of morphed in sort of more of a secular thing. So like Irish people, when they come here for St. Patrick's Day, they're appalled because it's a high holy day in Ireland, and people go to mass and this time they spent with the family, and then they see these Americans just getting
wasted,
and they go, "What are you doing?" So while it's something that is perhaps once had something to do with Catholic culture, and I think some Catholics are trying to reclaim it in as much as toning it down.
I really like the definition of Lent you gave about spring season.
It's a time for pruning. It's a time. So originally, and in Brazil they have Carnival, which is farewell to flesh, and that's also something.
Yeah? Where did they have that?
In Brazil. They have the big carnival. It's a huge party, and there's a parade. It originally comes from carne. Vale, which is fair, vale would be farewell,
bye-bye.
And then carne would be flesh, a farewell to flesh. So it's sort of like, hey, all the meat you've got, let's get rid of it. So you get a bunch of Portuguese grilling up steaks,
as opposed to putting as much meat as you can on display.
I'm gonna address the automation. You're talking about people being displaced at their jobs through robots and. There's a book out there I read called Rise of the Robots. Very interesting, and it talks about that quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that might be the next big social justice issue.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do with people who are displaced and aren't able to get jobs?
Right. The book is very interesting. Talks about the critical thinking type skills won't be replaced by robots. But the basic, repetitive type stuff, routine, is going to be replaced.
Well, what's interesting, though, with artificial intelligence is some of these white collar jobs, like accountants, and even some positions in lawyers. AI does have the capacity to take on some of these jobs as well. So it's not just a blue collar thing.
This is
you're right, but. I don't know. Maybe it'll create more jobs that happens like every time a new invention. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm going to address another thing. There was you get the Levin paper, the Levin?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I write for it sometimes. Yeah.
Did you see the Catholic Film Critic picks?
Oh, hold on, guys. Before you go on with the question, I'm sure there are some people who have no idea what the Levin paper is.
It's the Catholic newspaper for the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, and actually one that wins awards every year. But it's our Catholic newspaper on the Kansas side, and then on the Missouri side, there's the Catholic Key, which is
Annette. Very quickly, what's your question?
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, you're the movie buff. Anyway, just got the Film Critic Best Picks, Best Movies of the Year, and well, first of all, I didn't care for the book The Shack. I mean, I read it, but. But anyway, Senators are listed here as a Catholic pick. And I'm wondering what you would pick. Is it Bob?
Yeah.
For Best Picture tonight on the Academy Award.
The one that I would
No one would ever ask.
I will say this, right. Annette.
How much is Bob paying you?
No, Annette, I'll say it very quickly, and then we're going to have to bid you adieu because we got to go. The one that I would pick, I don't think will win it, and I'm not trying to try to pick a winner. I'm trying to pick the one that I think is the best movie of the year with a religious theme even in it, and that is Arrival.
I think that's in this paper here.
Robin. I think Amy Adams does a remarkable job. The plot line is a half gainer with a full twist with a big surprise.
Oh, cool.
It's a very, very, but not necessarily heartwarming one. It's, there is a sadness to it. But watch for Moonlight. Watch for Moonlight to get a lot of awards tonight.
Okay.
And especially adapted, adapted screenplay. If it doesn't win that, there's probably no justice.
One last question. Which one movie's going to get the award? Is it La La Land, do you think?
I think La La Land is going to sweep, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to get, but I think Moonlight is going to get some awards, too. Well, thank you for your call on that.
You got other callers, so I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Call again, Annette.
Now, we're going to be right back after these messages. Good morning. You've got Religion Online here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Also, KMAJ, 1440 AM, the Big Talker over in Topeka. We're glad that you have allowed us to be part of your Sunday morning. Thank you for the calls. Keep them coming at 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And by the way, as we announce at the top of the hour, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, there will be a march, I believe, in solidarity with the Hindu folk there in Olathe and as a whole, the community there. If you have some particulars about that march and about that act of solidarity with one another, please do give us a call at 576-7710. Michael, do you have preferences tonight among the movies that you've seen that you like?
Well, of the movies that are nominated, I've actually only seen La La Land, and I think it's a lovely diversion. I don't think it's, oh my gosh, this was a movie that moved me to extraordinary heights, lengths, or anything else. But it does seem that the industry loves to...
Congratulate
itself on the back,
yeah.
and since it's about the industry, you know, blah 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 blah. I liked it, but it. What's all the fuss? Haven't seen the others. Arrival is. I'm now going to try to persuade Karen for the two of us to find time to sit down because we can actually get it on the television. And I don't know about the Hidden Figures we want to see, but I don't know if we'll get to the movies by the
beautiful.
Time. Well, it's still around.
Yeah.
And is Lion one of the nominees? Or
yes, it is. Yeah, okay. Lion is one of them.
We've heard great things about that one. But
Great story. Yeah. And anyway, but I will tell you, Hidden Figures is absolutely special. And you'll love it.
Have you guys seen that one?
Which one?
Fences.
Oh, no. Absolutely. I mean, it's an adapted play, and therefore...
Right, I saw the play. But
as they said, as even Denzel Washington, who stars and also directed himself and Viola Davis in this... Mm-hmm. By the way, it's got a scene of Viola Davis in an argument with Troy, the character that Denzel Washington plays, where she's crying and shouting and... She snot cries, and I've never seen an actress do that. At will, how would you do that? And it is magnificently moving. There are a lot of words, and for word people, we love it. But there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of soliloquies. Not much scenery, but, the play carries itself along with the words, and so does the movie. There's a lot of people that are predicting Denzel Washington could swoop in and win Best Actor awards for this. He would deserve it. It's an astounding performance.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah,
I think,
just a little bit. Hey, why don't we go to Mike? Mike, you've got Religion
on the
line.
He got Religion on the line. Seal of approval.
Yeah, yeah, that'll mean a lot.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Earlier I heard you say that Trump said that the news media is the enemy of the people.
I think that he has said that the fake news,
yes.
And what he means by fake news, As I understand it, is the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times,
the Wall Street Journal.
And so these are mainstream, traditionally wonderfully credible sources of information, but that have been critical of him, and therefore he has declared them as fake news.
No, excuse me.
Is that right?
See, part of the fake news is them reporting that he said the news media is the enemy of the people. And he corrected that and said, no, I said the fake news, enemy people.
Yeah, but I know, but what he means by that are credible, traditional sources of great factual news.
Well, I didn't know you were psychic and get into his head. What he said was fake news, and so when you say that he said the news media...
What do you think he means by fake news,
Mike?
Don't
interrupt me, please.
Mike, what do you think he means by fake news?
Well,
who?
I'm going to take what he said, fake news, which is false news. Which there have been stories, even in your reputable New York Times, which have been shown to be fake news, meaning they weren't true, but they were put out.
Can I interrupt you?
It's damaging. Now,
my recollection is, and I don't pretend to have 20/20 recall on this, is that he had a Twitter in which he indicated that the fake news was not articles; it was CNN. The news at NBC, which is kind of interesting since he gets money from NBC, CBS, ABC, the New York Times, the failing New York Times, and several other sources. He wasn't talking about articles. He was accusing sources of information as purveyors of. Even as, I don't doubt for a moment, that there have been articles in any and varied publications that are filled with inaccuracies or inappropriate commentary. But when they talk about that we shouldn't have anonymous sources, and then they plant anonymous source items, I mean, come on, that's hypocrisy all the way around.
That's a different topic.
It's a different topic, so I want to get back to...
Mike...
When you said that he said the news media is enemy of the people... That's exactly what he was saying was part of the fake news.
I'll clarify, Mike. I'm not part of the fake news here. I think you can find places where he's tweeted who the fake news are, and they are the New York Times, according to him, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, I think occasionally the Wall Street Journal.
The fact that he talks about the source of some fake news, he didn't say that they never put out anything true. He said they put out things that are fake news, and that can be verified.
That's not what the Twitter said.
There's lots of evidence for this, Mike. And this is,
lots of evidence for what?
That what he means by fake news are news sources that write things that he doesn't like.
No. He even said, I don't care if it's something I don't like.
He doesn't say.
You don't.
So we now disagree. Okay.
We just disagree. We disagree, Mike.
No, we don't disagree. You just interpret what he said to you the way what you think it should mean.
He said you're suggesting that he is simply making an observation about some items that are, in his view, not correct. For instance, the supposed contacts that intelligence sources, 7 or 9 unnamed sources, have provided to the media.
That's a different subject.
Et cetera. That sort of thing is what you mean, right?
No. The difference, he doesn't like that either when it's if they're going to say something bad about him, say it to his face. Now, I don't care if you say we disagree. There have been stories that is verified. In fact, they've had to retract or apologize or say the White House.
I'm glad they do, because we certainly have an occupant of the White House. But I don't want to talk about politics.
From
I think it's a dangerous thing to label people as enemies.
Yeah, and enemies of the people. With a broad... Mike, I think he did much more than that. We can disagree on interpreting what fake news is. And by the way, my concern is not so much... is the people that surround the president that want to and have said there's going to be much more attacks and opposition to media, period.
No, he said the one that's...
No, but Bannon said that.
The one you're talking about, I think, said there will be a lot more attacks from media.
No attacks on the media. All right. Well, we're going to go. We're going to be right back after these messages. And what? Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM. Welcome, KMAJ over in Topeka, 1440 AM. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. 576-7710 is the number to call. 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And by the way, Bill was looking up the tweet. I was remembering it. The tweet is very, very clear on the part of the administration that basically...
The president.
And by the way, we heard from Mr. Bannon over the weekend or last Friday or whenever it was, Thursday, at the CPAC, as it's called, that there will be further attacks on the press. I just think that's a bad thing to do. I do think that the confusion and calling into question sources of news is a very good tactic for trying to pull one over. I mean, that would be the traditional way of viewing things over the course of history and looking at how media and propaganda has been used over time. But anyway, my main question was, if you declare any portion of the press, whoever it is, as enemies of the people, how is that a good thing? And will there come a time if there are churches who disagree with the administration's approach to immigration and service sanctuaries, literal sanctuaries for immigrants, will they be declared? What happens when congregations are declared enemies of the people? Will that prevail? What will happen?
Bob,
I don't know.
Bob, just to be fair to Mike, who's a frequent caller, his claim was that the accusation, the charge is that fake news is the enemy of the people, not the sources.
Yeah.
As you and I believe the comment was. So just to frame...
I think
we all agree that propaganda / fake news is
totally not a
positive for anybody.
Not a good thing, ever, ever. But then when we get down to defining what fake news is, as President Trump has done, is not helpful and actually is not accurate, in my view. So if we get into a relativizing, as so many conservative friends of ours have said, relativizing of the truth, interesting how it cuts several ways. Anyway, we're going to go to Richard. Richard, you've got Religion on the Line.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to cut to the chase quickly, if I could, please. There's two examples that talking of this false... Communication is a wonderful thing, and it can be abused, and there's a gray area between honesty and dishonesty, and I think that's what Michael was talking about, the caller previous. In the beginning of the program, there was dialogue about this terrible incident in Olathe.
Yes.
And it was reported that they were killed by a gun. Now, they weren't
killed by a person.
Well, they were killed by an individual who utilized a gun. But the statement was they were killed by a gun. Now, I understand what that means, but to some people, that sets a precedent for the gun is the problem. The people are the problem. The other issue is this terminology of sanctuary. That is a biblical term, and as Mr. Zedek said, it's a biblical thing that goes back a long way.
Do you mind if I interrupt you and say I'm not Mr. Zedek?
I'm sorry?
He's Rabbi Zedek.
Okay. I apologize. But,
no problem.
But at any point...
Can you say... Are you able to say Rabbi Zedek?
Rabbi has no problem with me. No.
Thank you. I could go on.
my goodness. At any rate, the terminology of sanctuary, as I understand it from the Old Testament, can be applied to, is most often applied to a place. In the terminology that is being used today, it was a place that strangers were not allowed sanctuary. Let me make my statement. Correct me after I'm done. But in the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, that in the 51st verse, that's exactly what Jeremiah says, that the strangers were allowed the sanctuary, and they weren't supposed to be, according to the law of Moses. Now, I'm sorry, correct me if,
Michael,
if I'm wrong.
I just would say, here in the studio, we will defer to Michael on this. He knows this backwards and forwards, and he speaks authoritatively. Michael, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. Sanctuary has a variety of uses. It does refer to a place or places, and it also refers to a person taking residence for safety in such a place. That's the phrase, grabbing hold of the horns of the altar. And it is an ancient notion of being safe within, just as, for example, Julian Assange has taken refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy. Is it Ecuador or Peru? I've forgotten now.
I can't remember.
The embassy in London. From arrest. It's the same idea totally. And I must admit to you, you said it was Jeremiah 51:51?
Yeah, we are confounded.
I'll look at the Hebrew tomorrow, but that may be an accurate translation. It may not be. I have no idea without looking at the Hebrew.
Well, the King James Bible says, we are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house.
That's referring to invasion.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
Now, I suppose you could argue that there's been an invasion of undocumented, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's a long tradition of the outcast being capable of having a reprieve if he or she or they can make it to a sanctuary and then declare the right of sanctuary.
So Jeremiah's not
Charles Lawton, sanctuary.
Yes, but so Jeremiah's not talking about people who are coming into the sanctuary seeking
safety. Relief. No, we're talking about invaders
and maybe perhaps desecrating it.
Exactly.
Well, the sanctuary was reserved for the people of Israel, as I understand it.
That's not correct.
Well, the house should be a house for all people.
Even the ancient temple had an area where all could gather.
And sanctuary cities, Richard, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong. Sanctuary cities had not to do
cities
at all.
Cities of refuge had
to do with so-called foreigners, people who are not Israelites at all.
I beg to differ with you, and I believe that those sanctuary cities were for people who, among the Jewish nation, were the children of Israel.
They were among
anyone who had been accused of murder, to escape the blood of anger. And it's not a point of arguing God's word. That's the problem.
Richard, here's the deal.
When we take a document, whether it be the Constitution or whether it be the Bible, and then we construe it to our needs and our desires.
Oh, dear.
That's academic dishonesty, gentlemen.
Well, Richard,
have a strong difference on who knows what and how to interpret things.
Your license.
Richard,
but I'm also a reader of the text. Gentlemen,
but that's
have a wonderful
not,
day.
That's
I'm sure
not enough.
Not the text.
One, you know.
That's not enough. And we're just going to say you're wrong. You're not interpreting
and you'll
it correctly.
You'll say we're wrong, and that's the end of it.
And we're just going to. I think we're done. So we're going to go to Chris. You've got religion on the line. Hello, Chris. You've got religion on the line.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to your debate there. I'm bringing this up towards Trump, and it's really nothing. It's more from a neutral point of view. When they were talking about fake news. I work graveyard, and I listen to BBC all night. And they brought up a point because they're one of the newscast that was labeled on the situation. Mm-hmm. And basically, they brought up two points of he actually said back in the 90s and the early 2000s the term fake news. And yeah. They actually replayed it, and he said fake news.
Yep.
So the point that I'm trying to make is this is nothing new. This is something that that he has used for a long time.
Right. And
it just depends on how you play the cards, I think.
Yeah. So what's your position? Because, yeah, the BBC is very well respected. I know.
Well, that was my whole point. I mean, because that's why I listen to them. They're probably the most neutral newscast in the world, if not the most neutral newscast. And it was just amazing how they brought this out, that this has already happened before this was even a popular term in today's vocabulary, that he actually used the word fake news.
Yeah.
So it's just the way you look at it.
Yeah, it kind of turns your head, the number of interpolations and twists and turns that some of this stuff has. So,
well, there's one thing they brought out before he actually won the election, and it was one of the older reporters, and again they bring out what they said before. They do actually, you know, say what they say. And back in 1974, they had a reporter from 1974, and then he was talking. He was talking live on the radio, and he was saying that in 1974, and they brought it out that eventually the United States will elect a game show host to be president. And it was just, it kind of floored me because they played the piece and they said it. This was back in 1974.
Yeah.
And well, we talked about some other things.
Yeah. All right. There's actually an episode of The Simpsons where they predict a Trump presidency.
Yeah, but this is back in 1974. Yeah. They actually said that a game show host would be the president of the United States.
Yeah. Let's not get into Notre Dame's predictions about all this kind of stuff. Yeah. We thank you for your call, Chris. We got to go. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back. Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also KMAJ, 1440 AM in Topeka. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. And guys, if we have a moment, the conversation we had with the cross talk we had with, was it Richard?
I think it was Chris.
I think it was Richard, this last one. Yeah,
yeah, you're right,
yeah.
Richard.
Yeah, yeah. The reason I said, when he said Mr. Zedek, and I took umbrage, because my impression is that this particular caller does not accept anybody else as having accuracy whatsoever, and because he's called before.
Yeah,
and that his mister was meant to suggest that I'm an inauthentic religious person.
Yeah, I don't think that he's from that perspective. I think he mm-hmm. does respect your position. I think he just on this.
I appreciate that if that be the case.
Yeah, but on this issue, he was brooking no quarter, and mm-hmm. he was just wrong.
Yeah,
I mean the tradition says it, the interpreters say it, the historians say it. And I don't know where he gets this interpretation except from
the text alone, and he understands it, and that's the end of the discussion because his understanding has to be the correct understanding.
All right.
And I mean, this might be a good time to review proof texting, where you take maybe one or two quotes from the Bible to bolster your position, but you don't look at it in the context of what the whole passage is. It's very dangerous, you know, where you just go. So, yeah, he takes one quote. We're ashamed because we've heard taunts, disgrace, cover our faces. Strangers have entered sanctuaries in the Lord's house. And his argument is, see, you know, only the Jews could be in the sanctuaries. And mm-hmm. and yet, Michael, as you brilliantly pointed out, look at the whole context. It's about strangers invading and desecrating, not strangers coming for mercy. So, you have to be very careful about the Bible. It is the Word of God, but it's a whole book. You can't just take like one passage. Even the devil can do that, right? When in the temptation of Christ, you know, he's taking passages of the Bible and tempting God with his own book. So we want to be careful about proof texting.
All right. We are going to go now to John. John, you've got religion on the line.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You guys have heard the term faux news, have you not?
Say the word again.
News?
F-E-A-U-X?
No, F-A-U-X.
Oh,
news?
Oh yeah, F-A-U-X, yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been, people have been calling Fox News faux news for years.
What, calling
that's
what?
Where,
calling what?
Fox News.
Oh, Fox the network.
News. Oh, okay. Faux news, Fox
yeah.
News. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, fake news.
Yeah.
They've been calling, and that's been happening for years. So now all of a sudden, you know, Trump is calling some news outlets fake news. But anyway, the reason why I was calling was you mentioned sanctuary churches and what would happen if they were declared enemies of
the people.
The American
people. I'm just curious about that. I don't think that's good for our nation
right.
to use that kind of terminology with regard to news media. I just was wondering if that's going to be a kind of natural outcome with regard to congregations that will invoke a several thousand-year-old mm-hmm. tradition.
What would you call a church that, let's say a church gave sanctuary to that racist who shot the people in Olathe the other day? Would you call a church that gave that guy sanctuary enemies of the American people?
I'd say they were invoking their tradition and saying they were working for mercy for that man in a way that could to keep him from being killed. I think they would probably have to turn him over to the authorities.
Yeah, the but they might not if they thought he was going to be lynched, right?
The situation in Denver where a mother is being sheltered by the Unitarian Church there, she didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
No, understood. But I'm just right.
You're just
talking
picking
about
it.
You.
Yeah.
You're trying to.
It would be an interesting question if a church would, because there's two things that have to happen for sanctuary. Yeah. One is you have to claim it, and two, it has to be given to you. You understand the point?
That
sure,
sure.
What you're really suggesting is there a church that would give to a person accused of murder?
Well, you could probably find a white supremacist
church
that might do it or something.
This is a debate that hasn't reached a conclusion. Nobody's been arrested in a church yet. But would the church extend its envelope of sanctuary to such a person? And I think Bob is correct. A church, a religious organization should, if someone is in fear of their life without due process, for sure. But
okay,
in the case of immigrants, it's a question of, is it proper law or not?
So it's up to the church to decide if it's proper law.
No, it's up to the church to decide whether it will invoke sanctuary.
Okay. See, I don't think immigrants who are here illegally are in fear of their life from our government. So,
well,
you know,
some of them are
not going to be lynched.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go. Call back next week, okay? Whoop. There we go.
Yeah.
I hope he will call back next week.
Yeah, let's talk sanctuary next week.
I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, and the busy signal is gone because now we can say something that's more, even more important to business.
God bless.